All right, so what we're going to do is we're going to look at a text in Luke 17, and let's pray before we do that. Lord, we ask that this story, this story from the Gospel of Luke, might be something that speaks to us today, that by your grace, by your Spirit, we might be a thankful people. In your name we pray, amen. So it's Luke 17, starting in verse 11, and this happens when Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem toward his death, and he encounters some people who are ill. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." This is the word of God for the people of God. So we have a story here that's a neat one. And I've been thinking recently about shopping. How could I not think about shopping in the midst of the hype that's going on? We have, on Saturday, I went out shopping. Anyone else go try and go to a store on Saturday? It was packed, wasn't it? Lines. I got really irritated. I mean, I went to Salvation Army, and I was going to drop things off there. No, the line was too long. I was just, like, way irritated. And so I would say that we should be preparing for Christmas shopping. But my guess is that we're already kind of in full tilt. It's been ratcheted up a bit. How many people here have already bought a Christmas gift? Oh, yeah, right, okay. So, you're doing it. I mean, and judging from the flyers and the catalogs and the promotions that we get from the decorations in the store and the music and all of it, that it's not that Christmas season has started. It started a long time ago. It's just getting more intense. And I would say that even though I know that Black Friday and Small Business Saturday and Cyber Monday and Giving Tuesday are all coming up, that I'm not really pulled in by those. But I will admit to you what I am pulled in by. I'm pulled in by special offers. And so, you know, like when you're walking down the grocery aisle and you see that container that has the red stripe on the top and it says 20% more free, I just buy it. I mean, I know I should probably do the math, but I'm going to trust them that's free. So like, I have shampoo bottles I can't lift, and I've got laundry detergent that doesn't fit in the counter, in the cupboard, because it had more free in it, so I had to have it. And the other thing, now when I started talking about this, there were women at the last service started nodding their head. The other thing is that where you get the gift free when you buy stuff, I have stood at cosmetic counters. Are you with me? Okay. And looked at said, what am I going to have to buy to get that gift? That, you know, that little kid in the cute little bag, that lipstick that you're never going to wear because it's the wrong shade, I need that free gift. And so I'll go for that kind of promotion. And so what I'm looking for, I think the thing that pulls me in are things where I sense that I'm going to get a better deal. I'm going to get more value for my money. It's an added value. Now, for any of you financial types out there who've studied economics and all of that, when I start talking about value added, I know that it's a technical term. I know that. But I don't know how to explain all of that. I want to go for just the very basic understanding. The value added is when a producer adds something to a product or a service, adds something up there, and they give that product or service to us, and we feel like it is worth more, or we perceive it's worth more, or it is worth more. That's added value. Well, I would suggest that what this person who was cured from leprosy, the one who came back and thanked Jesus, I would suggest that he shows us a way to add value to our lives. And so we can look at that story and find out something. So here's where it starts. Jesus is walking toward Jerusalem, and he's in this borderland. Now, it's really fitting that he would be in this setting of borderland, because what happens in this setting is that he's in between the region of Galilee, in between Samaria, but more than that, he is himself on the edge. He's human, he's divine. He's been rejected in his hometown as and persecuted rather than being acknowledged as a prophet. He's suspect by the religious leaders of the day and by those who hold power. He is marginalized, and even as he calls people to follow, he doesn't get everyone to go because what he's asking them to do is so hard. And so there he walks with his handful of disciples, and he knows he's heading toward his death. He's in the margins. He's on the outskirts. Perhaps it's fitting that who he meets in that time are 10 guys that are in the same place, on the margins. According to Leviticus and Numbers, there are laws about people that have this contagious skin disease. They got to be separated. They can't live in the towns or the villages. In fact, if they get close to anyone who's healthy, they have to scream, "Unclean, unclean," so people will know that they're coming. They live through the money that people will give them, the food that people will give them, and worse than the condition itself, they're separated from community, from their families. And perhaps it's fitting that the number 10 is used because in Jewish tradition, 10 men are needed to start a synagogue, a minyan, a place of study and prayer. And so here are these 10 men who can't do it because they have been called religiously impure. They are separated and on the edge. And when they see Jesus, they don't ask for money. They don't ask for food, which would be the appropriate thing. They must have gotten word or maybe known that this healer had come, because what they asked from him was mercy. He told them to go and check with their priests. And as they went, they started to be healed. What an amazing thing to happen. In 2005, I had the opportunity to be in mission in Liberia, and I visited for a day a village where people with leprosy lived. Now, leprosy is a condition that can be treated with antibiotics. So the people who were in this village had been treated, but the problem was that in some of the more remote places in Liberia, in other African countries, where medicine doesn't come, people struggle with the condition and have the effects of it until they can get help. So the United Methodist Church has a place for people to come, because when you have leprosy, just like back in Jesus' day, you're separated from community. And so they and their families are a community together. And I had the opportunity to sit actually on the ground and talk with people whose limbs, whose faces had been disfigured, who could not walk, and to be blessed in conversation with faithful people. Because while they may not have been restored to full health and mobility, those people there, by the grace of a community who cared, had been restored to family and community. When those men were healed, and all of them were healed, not only did they find that their limbs stretched longer, that they were able to hold another person's hand, that they were able to breathe and see clearly, but they were restored to the religious community, they were restored to their own families. It's amazing. So this one man, he turned around, and he came back praising God, and he fell at Jesus' feet, and he gave thanks. This it's really interesting in verse 16 where it says he gave thanks. It's the same word that's used when Jesus is offering communion, and he gives thanks to God for the bread and for the cup. And the root of that word is Eucharist, to give thanks. And so, literally, when this man falls at Jesus' feet, he's offering thanks, Eucharist, It's the thanksgiving. And it is the purest form of giving thanks to God. At the very feet of God, he offers thanks. Wouldn't it be amazing if our life was a practice in Eucharist, in giving thanks? And how might that add value to our lives? So I want to just talk a little bit about how this healing might teach us about adding value. And what we do is we take a lesson from that man who bowed and who gave thanks. I think the first thing that we learn is that you need to take notice. Now, there are lots of things that happened to us this morning. And I don't know how many of us really took notice and gave thanks for what those were. You get up and you expect that the house will be warm, right? You expect that there's food in the refrigerator, something to eat. You expect that when you turn on the shower, warm water is going to come out. And when you get in the car or the vehicle that you have, that the car will start. It's as if the only time we remember the abundance and comfort that we live in is when it's not working. So like the garage door doesn't go up or someone forgot to buy toilet paper. And then we realize the things we take for granted. Yeah, it is. It's bad. But what would happen if we started taking notice of the things around us that bring us comfort, that amaze us, actually? I had the opportunity to hear Judge Mike Hattie on Friday give a presentation about drug court. Here in Livingston County, there are some specialized courts. One of them is drug court, there's also a mental health court, and there's a veterans court that just started. And unlike the court that you would see in Law and Order, this type of court is actually a sentencing alternative. So when a person has committed a crime and is addicted to drugs or to alcohol, they may be eligible, rather than a sentence in jail, to be sentenced to drug court. And the court goes for a year, and there's a team of people, including the circuit judge, there's a prosecutor and a defense lawyer, there's mental health people, there's a sheriff's department representative, and there are addiction people that are part of this. And every month they meet twice as a court, all these people and the team, and they report. Now, it's a pretty stringent program because there's regular drug testing, there's compliance with a plan, which often involves going to meetings, going to a counselor, those kinds of things. But what happens is when they come twice a month to this meeting, it's Judge Hattie's job to talk to them. And part of this is a nationwide program, is he spends 3 to 5 minutes with each person who is in drug court. He said it's to establish a relationship so that they feel more connection and more responsibility to getting through the program. And so he asked questions like, you know, he's looking through the records, have you been compliant? Have you been drug and alcohol free? Have you attended the AA meetings or whatever meetings are appropriate? Have you been seeing your counselor? Have you been seeing your probation officer? What kinds of things are you doing to uphold the agreements we have here? But this is where Judge Hattie veers from what's the guidelines for this. He said when he's done, the last thing he says to the person he's talking with is, tell me something good. Now, it takes them a while when they first get in there to kind of think about that. But he said, eventually, if he does not say, tell me something good at the end of their meeting, they'll stand there and wait. You know, like, yeah, I want to tell you something good. And he says he hears remarkable things. He hears things like, I'm sober today. He hears, I get to see my children. And for some of the participants in drug court, they don't get to see their children very often. He had one man who said, I won a bowling tournament. He said he hears amazing things, and this is what he told us then. He said, sometimes the things that we consider normal are exceptional. Isn't that the case? The things that we consider normal, part of our lives, that somehow we just deserve because it's here, are truly exceptional things. And we have the opportunity to give thanks. The first thing, though, however, is we have to pay attention. Pay attention to the things around us, to the people around us, to the comfort we have. And so I'm curious, just when we think about those normal things that are exceptional, what are you thankful for right now? Just give me a few things. A husband, a warm home. All right, a very generous and kind grandma. Yeah.
For friends.
For friends. Things you're grateful for.
Family.
A great family. Yeah. Okay, a patient mentor. Leo, speak up. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Okay, sentience and curiosity. Whoa, all right, that's something to be thankful for. Your mom. Yeah. All those things that come up. Especially when we start to think about them and take notice. Let me just tell you what another thing that this man did. He gave thanks. He acted. He responded in thanksgiving. Now, I really believe that faithfulness and thanksgiving are really tied together. That our thanksgiving can inform our faithfulness, but in faithfulness we also give thanks. It's like gratitude is tied into our connection to God. And so as a response to God's grace in our lives, we give thanks. It's almost as if an absence of gratitude will reveal in us an understanding that we're simply privileged and that we deserve things. But a gratitude in us, a grateful heart, shows a sensitivity to the world around us and God's creation, and also demonstrates a spirit of humility, that we understand that we're not always deserving or that we're not self-made, and that everything around us, what we have, the privilege we have, is somehow just ours. But in some way, God is working in our lives, and we have that. I can't help but think about Phoebe Laws. Phoebe was a parishioner of mine a long time ago. She was 104 years old when she died. She lived in a nursing home, and in the time I met her, and she just had such a life of gratitude. I'd go in, and unbidden, she would tell me about a good meal that she'd had that day, something that was sitting on her end table that someone had given her. She would talk about how a caretaker did something kind for her, and she'd be thankful. And this woman, born and raised in and lived in southern Michigan, never married, never had a very small family that all died, and she would talk about the things she was thankful for in life that she had experienced. The furthest she ever traveled was to Toledo on a train, and she was so grateful for that. She talked about being grateful for her mom's pies and the chickens that her father kept in the yard. I mean, her gratitude just spilled out, and her faith glowed through that gratitude. She was a person who had spent her life voicing it, giving thanks, saying thanks. And finally, she was thankful for her church, her community, that embraced her and cared for her. I think that one of the last things that is extremely important that we learn is how quickly this man with leprosy acted. When he knew that he was clean, that he would be restored to health and restored to community, he turned around and he came back. He acted immediately. What an amazing lesson to think about being thankful, not saving it for one particular time or moment. Oh, you know, on Sunday, the preacher will probably put it in the prayer. Yeah, that'll be my Thanksgiving. But that we might have hearts of gratitude and acts of gratitude all of the time. How many people have done this? You get to the Thanksgiving meal, and the meal's all set on the table. You're sitting around the table, and you say, wait, before we eat, let's all say what we're thankful for. Have you ever done that? Or perhaps you've had a perpetrator in your family. And I know for my family, it's not, like, really good to do that, because, look, we're holding our brothers back by their collars, and, you know, like, from the food, and the food steaming. And so you get this half-hearted, I'm thankful for family, I'm thankful for my spouse, I'm thankful for warm food, I'm thankful for football, let's get this done. And so you don't have that. And isn't it remarkable that we would think that we can just have this one day to give thanks, when we can make a lifetime of it? And then, I don't know if you've ever done this, I have, where I receive an act of kindness and I say, I got to send a card to those people. And then, like, a day goes by, I'm going to call those people, and then another day goes by, I'm going to at least send an email, day goes by. Pretty soon it's a week, another week, another week. And then you say, well, that would just be crazy to send it now, right? And so you just never give them a thanks. So the thing pops into your head and you don't do it. What this man did was he turned and he came back and he thanked Jesus. And what Jesus said to him was, your faith has made you well. Now, all of them were healed. All of them. What happened was his gratitude brought wholeness. And isn't it fascinating that we have to hear this from a man who lives on the margins? They pointed out he was a Samaritan, that he was one that the first hearers of this gospel would have said, him? What was he doing being grateful? It almost takes the people who don't live in comfort and privilege to point out how amazing this life is and how humbled we should be. Not only for God's acts of creation around us and God's grace and love through Jesus Christ, but even for the people who touch our lives on a regular daily basis and what they do for us. What would happen to our lives and what value might be added if, like this man who was cured, we were able to notice the amazing things happening in our lives? We were able to speak and to respond in gratitude. We were able to act now. If you received a worship folder today, there's a thank you card in it. And if you didn't, there's some you can get on the way out. I'm going to just give you this thank you card and invite you to write the note that needs to be written. Now, it may be to someone that you're going to mail it to or hand it to in your household. It may be a note that needs to be written to someone that you are not in contact with anymore, or perhaps has even died. But you need to write a note of thanks. Or it may be the note of thanks you write is a note of thanks to God for the blessings of this life. But whatever it is, I urge you to find value in life through a life of gratitude, to act now. Amen.
Would you join me in prayer? Gracious God, we thank you so much for this day. And we ask that you would help us to realize that there's millions of things that go right for us each day. And there might be maybe two or three things that go wrong that upset us. Help us to have a sense of perspective, to appreciate that your goodness abounds above and beyond the things that we can complain about. And as we raise our awareness, Lord, we ask that we might be able to give thanks. God, not just to give thanks with our mind and our heart, but to give thanks with our lips, to give thanks through our actions by acknowledging your goodness, by acknowledging the goodness that we've received from others, whether it's through a word, whether it's through a card, or whether it's through a gesture or act of service. And God, we ask that we might be able to show that thanks and appreciation here and now, today. Not tomorrow, but today. Because tomorrow, we have something else to be thankful for. And so we ask that the power of your Spirit would move us into action, move us into living a life of gratitude. God, not just this season, not just this week or on Thursday, but may it be a part of our lifestyle, may it be a part of our character, may it be a part of who we are, so that we can have added value, so that our life is not just going through a daily routine, but each and every single day, that we may recognize the goodness of your love, your grace, and your mercy. We take a moment of silence right now as we think about those who are in need of your strength, your love and your healing. May we be your hands and feet to be in ministry. We take a moment of silence so that we can recognize and appreciate everything that we have, which has been given from you. Lord Jesus, we thank you because on the night in which you, night before you gave yourself up for us, you gave thanks, even in the midst of the darkest situations. And it didn't end there. Lord Jesus, you gave yourself for us. May we be like you to be able to give thanks in the most difficult of circumstances, and that we might be able to give ourselves to you in service in your ministry. And so we pray all of these things as we pray the prayer you first taught your disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.